Om Shanti. Today is 12th October 2018. Today's blessing is, may you be a great soul and constantly keep with you the blessing of happiness of your Brahmin life. Happiness is itself a birthright of Brahmin life, and to remain constantly happy is a greatness. Those who permanently keep this blessing of happiness with themselves are great. So never lose your happiness. Problems will come and go, but do not let go of your happiness. Because problems are external situations that have come from others, and they will come and go. Happiness is your personal property. Happiness is your own personal property, and you always keep your own property with you. Therefore, even if you are to leave your body, do not let go of your happiness. If you are happy, as you leave your body, you will receive a beautiful new one. So, happiness is birthright of Brahmin life, and to remain happy is greatness, and so never lose your happiness. Problems will come and go, but happiness should not come and go. It should stay with you. Don't let go of your happiness. Problems are coming from external situations. Happiness is your own property, personal property, and you always keep your own property. Even if you are to leave your body, do not let go of your happiness. Why? Because you will receive a beautiful and new body. There was a man, a rich man, who was in search of happiness. He had everything with him, but he had no happiness. And he had visited many saints and many people, but no respite, no happiness. And he was very restless. Once he decided that I would search happiness, and I will not come back unless and until I search happiness. And he had heard of one Sufi saint who had arrived in some village. So he thinks this is an apt opportunity to go and seek the help of this saint. So he takes a bag of diamonds and goes to that saint, and he had heard a lot about that saint and how that saint is super normal. Someone who is above the attachments of this world. Someone who has got mystical powers. So having heard that, he goes to that saint, and when he arrives, he finds that the saint is sleeping, reclining near a tree, and he is sort of a beggar. He doesn't have any property of his own. He is absolutely as he had thought, because people go to saints and they have a lot of expectations from saints that they should not own anything. They should live like beggars. If possible, they should keep a lot of fasts, and they should live a life of hardships, and they should not be given to any temptation, any indulgence of this world. They have these expectations. And when the so-called saint doesn't fulfill this expectation, they get unhappy. So he gets extremely happy to see, because this saint is meeting all the expectations, all the criteria. And he goes to that saint and says, he climbs from his horse and tells the saint, I want happiness, because I have everything except happiness. And if you can give me happiness, I have brought this bag of diamonds for you. And the saint gets up and he listens to him. And before the man completes his statements, he snatches that bag of diamond and starts running. So, this man is absolutely amazed, or appalled to see, what is this? What I thought of this? And he starts running and chasing that man. But that saint is very clever. He is running here and there and he knows each and every lane of that village. But this man, then he shouts at the top of his lungs and he says, oh, this man is fraud. Don't think of him as a saint. He has taken away my bag of diamonds and he's running. Catch him. He's humbug. Catch him. And the whole, many people join him and they start running and running and running to catch this quote-unquote saint. And they try hard, but that saint is very clever and very fast, agile, and he is moving from this lane to that lane, ultimately totally exhausted. The rich man, not able to find this saint, comes back to the same place where he was earlier, that tree where that saint was sleeping. And he, to his utter surprise, he finds that that saint is sitting there. And his bag of diamond is kept there. And he rushes there and catches hold of his bag of diamond. And the saint says, have you got happiness now? You wanted happiness, no? So this was the way. Earlier he had diamonds, but he had no happiness. He lost it and then got it. And then the happiness came. So now he realized the importance of happiness. So we know happiness once we lose it. How much fortunate we are, probably we will know only when we will become less fortunate or fall from this fortune. Compared to what's happening in the world, compared to the worldly people, or the lives they are living, full of stress and tension, and there is no iota of happiness with them compared to this Brahmin life is so full of joy and love. It's sometimes when somebody loses that, then he realizes that this was happiness. So Baba is saying, happiness is your birthright. Happiness is your very religion. You are the very embodiment of happiness. Happiness is your very nature. So, and that's your personal property. And property is to be kept with. But do we know our property? Just as this man's diamond was his property, but he was still unhappy. He lost it and then he got happy. So, even whilst we have this property, always know the importance of this property. Because who has given us this joy, this bliss, this happiness? It's not a human being who has imparted us this happiness. This is not a worldly happiness. This is not a materialistic happiness. This is not a happiness that is coming out of wealth, that is coming out of relationships. These are not the happiness that is coming out of worldly name, fame and glory. This is not the happiness which is coming out of worldly businesses. This is a divine happiness. This is a metaphysical happiness. This is, the source of this happiness is spiritual. The source of the happiness is non-material. The source of the happiness is non-physical. So it's a happiness which is arising when one rises above the platform of body. Body is below. This is a happiness which is supernatural, super sensual. Senses are not involved. This happiness has got a higher dimension, and that's why this happiness is very strong, and that's why this happiness is imperishable, and that's why this happiness makes one light. The worldly happiness, there is always a sort of fear and anxiety that we might lose this. But this is such a happiness. The very source is spiritual, the very source is divine, the very source is God Himself, who is the ocean of happiness. So from that ocean this happiness is flowing. From that ocean this river of happiness is coming. And that's why this is our property and we should never lose our happiness. But yet we find that many Brahmins are unhappy. Why? They may not reveal, but we know they are unhappy. At some point or other, there are maybe some subtle reasons that they are unhappy. Why Brahmins are unhappy? They have got God, and God is coming and meeting them today, and they know all the knowledge, and they know they have become Trikaldarshi, and yet somewhere they are unhappy. What is that subtle? That is one of the reasons. They find themselves unable to follow the directions completely. That's why they feel that subtle guilt within themselves. That's why they feel that subtle feeling of inability or what is called as aparadha bhav, that feeling of guilt consciousness that makes them unhappy. And there are many others who are what is known as guilt trip, those who induce guilt trip in them. Guilt trip is something when you tell people that you are guilty because this is your sin. There are others. You should be guilty. You have done this crime. How you are not guilty? So this process in psychology, this is known as guilt trip. So there are many who are guilty and there are others who are on guilt trip. They want to induce that feeling and make them believe that you are, don't think that your sins are very less. You are among those bigger sinners. So guilt consciousness is one thing that snatches away the happiness. Second is self-victimization. This is another thing. Yesterday only, I met one mother, and she said, "I feel you are angry with me." I said, "I don't know you." But she thinks that I feel you are very much angry with me. I said, "I don't know you. I am meeting you for the first time. But the way you looked at me, I felt you were very much angry. I said, where you were sitting, I don't know. I even did not observe you. Is it so?" So I asked her, "Do you feel like this with many other people also?" She says, "Almost everyone I feel. They are unhappy with me. And I am the cause of their unhappiness." This is yesterday only, the mother who met. And then she gave some gift. "Because you are angry with me." I said, "I am not angry with you. But you can give me. I will readily accept that." You know, this is known as self-victimization. Playing the victim card. Some failure happens and the person feels I am responsible for that failure. Some failure in the success, in service, and the person feels I am the only one. Had I not been there, this seva would have been successful. It's because of me this has happened. If because of me my family is not, there are conflicts in my family. So this is a very deeper and subtle self-victimization. The third thing is inferiority complex. This is the cause of unhappiness. Others are going ahead, I am not going ahead. They know more than me, I do not know. They speak well, they have more knowledge, they are doing better services, and I am not doing any service. What should I do? And even if I do some service, that is not very effective. These people, they do a lot of service. So there is a subtle feeling of inferiority complex. Other thing associated with this is competitive nature. Other thing associated with this is jealousy. Jealousy is such a thing that the moment somebody becomes famous, there are branches. One branch is a group of people who are jealous. Other branch is a group of people who want to malign him. There are other branch who are in the process of preparing themselves how to malign. They are, one are already doing, others, they are finding the causes how to censor him. So, you know, this is a tree of becoming famous. Or somebody does a lot of service, so he will find these things. Associated mushrooming branches along with this. So, you will find group of traducers who abuse, who censor, who malign. All those things, they will happen. So, this is also a sanskar, which makes one unhappy. They will become unhappy on their own. What is happening to the person is different, but they are unhappy. It is actually the manifestation of the unhappiness is jealousy. In next Sunday's Murli, Baba said while talking with the Sevadaris, each one of you has got first prize. Each one of you is number one Sevadari. And Baba has given the number one prize is to remain satisfied and to make others satisfied. And one more thing, don't get disturbed and do not disturb others in service. So there would be group of people, a chunk of people who will come and disturb. Because there is unhappiness, there is a restlessness within. How much they will suppress their unhappiness. So, these are some of the causes, subtle causes of unhappiness in Brahmin life. And more often than not, person himself is responsible for his unhappiness. It is not the external situation, the outside things that are happening. People are not good, department is not good, boss is not good, juniors don't listen, colleagues and companions, they are not at all cooperative. Everybody is complaining. There is a scolding from every side. And nobody is good. It's a dangerous family. What I thought and what it became? Which danger zone I have entered? So this feeling makes one unhappy. Actually, it is not these people who are making him unhappy. It is his own thoughts that make him unhappy. So total cause of unhappiness in Brahmins is his mind's, man's own mind. He is unhappy within himself because of his own reasons. And no matter you may try to make him unhappy, him happy, but he will find the reasons for unhappiness. There are 10 people who have praised and they have said very nice things, and there is one person who comes up and says something bad, and he will catch hold of that bad octopus grip, and he will keep on thinking about that whole night, why he said like that. There were 10 people who said good things. If you conduct one program, okay, so 100 people will say and congratulate you, you have done an excellent program. But 2 people would be there always. They will come and tell you, the arrangement was absolutely bad. You should have seen to it. You have been doing this from long time. Don't you understand such small thing? You should have done better arrangement before only. And then they will tell about the faults in lights, in the curtains, in the arrangements, in the welcome ceremony, and how the time management was not very good. So there would be some people who will be always they are the most well-wishers, and they want you to become perfect, and they want to put at stake their own happiness to make you perfect. They can't see you being imperfect. They would somehow or other make you perfect. So that is the goal and the mission of their life. There is their supreme, actually we are overlooking their sacrifice. They are the greatest tyagis actually. They are putting their own happiness at stake for making us perfect. Such spirit of selflessness have you ever seen anywhere? And they are becoming restless within to make you perfect. It is only for taking me to that Sampurnata, Sampannata that they are doing all of these things. Actually it is God's touching to them. Because Baba doesn't want us to remain imperfect. So how He will give? So He will make some soul. And it is His tyag also. That He is sacrificing His happiness and He is becoming the target of your anger. But it is His good wishes within the heart that you should become perfect. So how much fortunate we should be to all the slanderers, abusers, censorers, all those people who malign, all those people who talk bad. They are really very good people. They are helping us. So, but somehow, as Baba said, this is the process one becomes unhappy. Looking at others, we become unhappy. We have not to correct anybody here. Everybody is in his own journey. And we don't know, we really do not know anybody. Nobody we know. Tyag is such a subtle, invisible thing. We do not know anybody's tyag. Remembrance is such a subtle thing, incognito. We do not know anybody's chart of remembrance. Surrender is such a subtle and the subtlest of all the things. We do not know the level of surrender anybody is having within. Outside labels and all those, they do not tell of anything. Internal love for Baba is so subtle, you cannot know from outside. These are all very, very, spirituality is absolutely about invisibility. Here everybody, everything is invisible, gupt, nothing is seen. Because what is seen on the surface, what is happening is entirely opposite. So, that's why. Even this happiness, somebody might show that I am very happy. But probably, he is trying to cover his unhappiness. Friedrich Nietzsche had said somewhere, he was the Antichrist. He always spoken about Antichrist. Actually, he used to sign his name, Friedrich Nietzsche, Antichrist. He had spoken against Christ throughout his life. So, he has written somewhere, I smile. Because if I don't smile, I will cry. Because how will I hide my tears, my anguish, my pain, my suffering within. That's why I cover my cry with a mask of happiness. Because there is so much sorrow within me. So, there are people like this. So, what is being shown on the surface? It's not like that. Somebody might look very unhappy or very serious, but inside he is very happy. Somebody may not like any functions and all those ceremonials. And there are people who enjoy these things. You know, one man, he goes to a psychiatrist and he tells, I am very unhappy. I am suffering from acute depression. I don't know what to do. I have tried everything but my depression is overwhelming and I cannot come out of the depression. The psychiatrist says, I can start you tablets, antidepressants, but better, you do one thing. Recently a circus has come in our town. A circus, and I heard there is a very good joker, and who makes everyone laugh. Why don't you go and see that circus? It will be entertaining and you will come out of your depressive states. The man says, I am that joker. So he is the one who is making everybody laugh. On this surface. But deep within, he is unhappy. Actually, there is a study of all the comedians. Lot of comedians, and it is found that they were suffering from depression. All the TV actors and actresses, you know, comedians mainly. Because internally their life was full of conflicts. Outside they were like, you know, they were very good comedians. You know, in Indian films, there was one lady, Tuntun. You know, she was very, very fat, old. I don't know whether she is alive or not. Earlier she was a singer. She was actually a singer when she came. But then, you know, during that period only, Lata Mangeshkar and Asha Mangeshkar came and she was overshadowed. Because better singers came. Now what she will do? Then she started acting and taking part. And the word Tuntun has become synonymous with obesity. And she became a comedian, making everybody laugh. But who knows, like, the way, the something that prompted her to become that was that spirit of sadness. So, our happiness should be coming from within, not external, not plastered on the surface, but rising, the fountain of happiness is within the soul. So that should be our happiness. Om Shanti.